I don't know how he does it.
It'll work.
I'll have a line across my face. Oh, I thank the Lord this morning for his blessings to us and how he has helped us. And this is our final discipleship study message, as far as I know. It's number 5. And the topic of this one is that we must not shrink from our responsibilities. We must not shrink from our responsibilities. Can you hear me better like that? Does that help? Yeah. Sister Willie. We want to start in Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In discipleship for the Lord, being a disciple for him, we have to realize that we're presenting our bodies. We're presenting our bodies, our everything about us, our intellect, our everything that comprises who we are. We are presenting that to the Lord. And we're presenting it as a living sacrifice. In other words, it's not a dead service, it's living. In other words, whatever the Lord wants us to do or is requiring of us, we want to be willing to go forward and do that. It says acceptable unto God, and that's just our reasonable service. That's just reasonable. That since he's the one that redeemed us and bought our salvation and brought us back to God, then, so to speak, he owns us. He owns everything about us. The great reward that we're going to receive at the end of our lives means everything. And anything that we can do here for him, for that great sacrifice that he did, we must be found doing this. So as a disciple, we cannot shrink from our responsibilities. People have a lot of problems in their own minds. They feel like they're not good enough. They feel like they're not smart enough. They feel like, well, I can't talk enough. I can't pray as well as somebody else. My words get all tangled up when I testify. They have a lot of reasons for shrinking. But that is shrinking back from your responsibilities. When you let those things get in front of your service to God. I remember when I first was saved and I would stand up to testify and I would cry through the whole thing. I could not keep from crying. I would just cry. And there have been others here that have the same problem, that they cry through their testimonies. Well, that isn't something that feels very good, that you're crying, trying to talk, you know, and it's kind of like what they say, there's no pretty crying. It's all ugly looking crying, you know. And so you're looking at people and crying and your nose is running and you're all red and everything. And you shrink back from all of that because you feel like, you know, well, it just wasn't very good. How could that? But what we don't realize and what we all need to realize is that we don't think it's bad when we see somebody else cry. In fact, we're blessed by it and we feel good about it. We know that what they're saying is so sincere and they're so touched and all that we're blessed by it. But we have a tendency to shrink from us, how we look to others, how we appear to them, whether or not it's polished, whether or not it's perfect. God does not require that. He just requires the reasonable service is I just give him whatever I am. That's the reasonable service. He doesn't expect you to be this perfect person all the time that says just the right thing at the right moment, that doesn't cry, that doesn't stumble over their words. reading in the Sunday school book a lot of times, stumbling over words, not knowing what words are, not knowing how to pronounce the names in the Bible. You know, I don't think any of us know how to do that. And we just kind of smush over it. You know what we do? But it doesn't it scare you sometimes when you're looking at your thing and you realize you're next in line and it has all them words in there? Oh no, and it's my turn. You know what I'm saying? That you shrink back, but that's a responsibility. And how are other people going to feel okay to read the scripture and have those hard words if they don't see you do it? They don't see you stumble over it and somebody else tell you the word, or you read it and you stumble and you have to go over and kind of start at the beginning again because you got some words mixed up. And it doesn't matter. We can't shrink from the responsibilities that God puts on us. When we start out reading in the morning, we don't know which scripture is going to fall in our lap. And so we don't know. So our responsibility is just to do the best with it we can when it comes our turn. Do what we have to do. So I want to go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God did something for us. He did something for us. He helped us to have people that we can see and talk with and listen to right in front of us. He could have required that none of us had any of that, and we just had to listen to him and his voice as it comes from heaven in our own mind and our own spirit, and not have the comfort of seeing others. He could have done that, but he knew who we were. He knows who we are. He knows that we need that. So he made all of these gifts in the body. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Everybody kind of knows what those are, don't we? We know what those are and what they were for. It says for the perfecting of the saints. God intended that these ones, that he would gift them and give these gifts to the men and women of the church. And it would be for the perfecting of all of us. And it would be for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body, to make the body be edified, to be what it's supposed to be. And then it goes on and it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. It was supposed to help us to come to the unity of the faith. How does it do that? Because as the teachers teach the word, we understand some things we didn't know last week. Yes. And as the preachers preach the word, we come to some understandings that we didn't realize before. And it helps us all come to the unity of the faith and to the, and then it says, and the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge. Oh, we have an idea in of our mind what it's going to take to live for the Lord. Even when we get saved, we have an idea. But how much has that changed since the day you got saved? You know, how much more have you learned since the day you got saved? And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You can be saved just a couple of weeks. You will have learned something that you didn't know the day you got saved. So it's for all these gifts that are in the body. It's for the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Christ, to really get down and be an example of Christ, to be an ambassador for him. You know, in order to be an ambassador, you have to know a lot of things. You have to know a lot of things. They don't send people that are ignorant to be ambassadors to other countries. They need to learn about that country, and they need to know all the things involved in their country, and they have to be careful with their words, and they have to be, you know, very diplomatic. Well, that's what God is expecting us. The fullness of Christ is learning all about him and learning about his kingdom and where he came from and why he came and all those things. And then to help us to realize what kind of kingdom we're living in down here and what we have to give up and let go of so that we can be more perfect in his kingdom. All of these gifts are in the body to accomplish those things. It says that henceforth, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth, the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All of these gifts are given so that we won't be children anymore. We were tossed to and fro out there in the world. We didn't know what we were doing. Sometimes we did things right. Sometimes we did things wrong. Sometimes we did things wrong that we thought were right. We thought they were right. Oh, yes, this is the way everybody should do it. And then we found out later that it wasn't. It's to help us to be no more children tossed to and fro. Oh, we don't know for sure, and be led this way. And if we're in this crowd of people, we're led this way. And if we're in this crowd, we're led that way. And kind of not having a mind of your own and kind of just being drug around and going home at the end of the day and saying, I don't know why I entered into that. Why did I do that? Why did I enter into that conversation? Why did I listen to that? Because we're just led around. But all of these gifts in the body and all the learning that we have to do, it's so that we won't be children anymore, that we won't be tossed and fro, to and fro, and that we'll grow up. You know, grow up. There are many people out there in the world right now in sin that have not grown up. They are still running around as if they were children. They still are having all their grudges and all their unforgiveness and all these things. And they just cart it around. They have a chip on their shoulder and they're looking for trouble all the time. I mean, things little children do. They're still doing all of that. He wants us to be able to grow up, take responsibility, understand and see things, understand why people, certain people are led this way or led that way. He wants us to understand some things so that we know how to be able to do what God wants us to do. Grow up. Sister Juanita grew up next to her neighbor. There was a time where she wanted nothing more than for that neighbor to be gone. They're just a problem to me, and I want my life peaceful, so I want them gone. But the Lord changed it. You see, she grew up, and she was able to witness to him, and now this man is, all he could think about was what she had said to him. Do you know how important that is? See, the little thing we say, I'm praying for you, we don't think much of it. Excuse me. We don't think much of it, but God does. And God can use those words to talk to people. And he can help them to remember that one thing you said. He can use it in the most dire of circumstances and bring that back to them because it was said and they processed it. If we never say anything, then how's God going to use it? That goes with us right here. There are things that each of us have to say, but we shirk our responsibilities. We don't always testify. There should not be a time that we don't testify. When we come to service and it's prayer and testimony, there shouldn't be a time we don't testify. It's like saying, God did nothing for me this week. I'm not thankful for anything this week. We don't think of it that way, do we? Some of us think that, oh, we have to feel a special inspiration to get up. God has to move us to get up. Really? How selfish is that? God has to move you to tell how good he is. Is that what we do? Is we go to our husband and say, you have to tell me how much you love me. And then if he says it, doesn't mean anything because you had to tell him. So the Lord has to tell you to testify. He has to tell you to tell about his goodness. He has to tell you that. Then what glory is he getting? Because he had to make you do it. There's not a special inspiration. I'm not saying that there isn't sometimes a special inspiration that comes. It can. But when it's us here and it's our Wednesday night service, we are to feed each other. We shouldn't shrink from our responsibilities. You are responsible to feed me. I am responsible to feed you. We are responsible to tell about the goodness of God to each other. How wonderful is it when you hear about some great thing that God did somewhere across the United States or whatever in somebody's life, and you hear this and, oh, it's such a wonderful thing. And you want to come and you want to tell somebody else about it. Well, what about your own life? What about the fact that I'm still saved this week? Yes. Nothing got me down to where I gave up on the Lord. No matter what trick the devil pulled on me this week, I'm still here. What about just telling it the real things of life? You know, I felt kind of discouraged this week, but the Lord is blessing me. He's helping me. I'm here. I want to be a blessing. I want to tell you that you can go through. I'm going through. I'm not feeling the best, but I'm going through. Do you see what I'm saying? We have responsibilities here. We can't shirk our responsibilities to the congregation. Oh yeah, we want the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. We don't want them shirking theirs. You know, if they don't come and they don't have anything, we'd start wondering about them, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you start wondering about it if I came here on Sunday and said, I don't have anything. And the next Sunday I came and I don't have anything. And you all are looking at each other and saying, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, what if I came sometime and I said, you know, well, I thought I had something, but then it just didn't quite feel right. So I just gave up on it. I thought I might cry. Or I thought my words wouldn't be really good enough. I heard a recording. How about this? I heard a recording of myself and I sounded so bad. I couldn't stand how. So I just, no. Turn off the recording, I don't want anybody else to hear me. Do you see what I'm saying? How we can shirk our responsibilities? We all have responsibilities here to each other. All of us do. And you don't want to shirk your responsibility. You want God, listen, I just like we talked in the Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about being able to give of the money. And it was said that sometimes if you don't give like you should, then the Lord causes something to happen and he takes that money from you anyway. You have to pay for some repair or something. So you don't get to use it anyway. Whatever you were saving it for, you don't get to use it anyway. You should have just given it to the Lord. And he does like that. Well, what about all of the other things like that going on among us? I'm feeling really, really bad, you know, right now. And I'm not feeling so encouraged and everything. And then somebody else gets up and they say, I'm feeling really discouraged tonight, but I know that God is faithful and I know that he will help me. And I know, you know, because the word says he will. I'm not feeling it yet, but I know. Well, what is that going to do for me? He had the courage to get up and say what I was feeling that I wasn't going to tell anybody. Do you see what kind of courage we have to have? And what kind of responsibility we have to have toward each other. We can get up and say, I can't think of anything to testify about tonight. You ever sat there in your seat and said, I don't have anything to testify about? And you start racking your brain this or that or whatever. It's not about you. Just testify. How about you just testify for the Lord? Can you just do that? Can you say, I am so glad we have the Bible. I believe every word that's in there. I believe that God is faithful. I believe that God will help and no matter what we're going. Can we testify for the word? Can we testify for God? It's not about you. It's not about you. You're supposed to edify everybody here. Everybody here needs to hear something. It's not all about Oh, you know, nothing special happened to me this week. Yes, it did. Because no tragedy came your way. No tragedy came your way. Otherwise, you'd have come the next Wednesday night and you'd have said, oh, I went through something. The Lord helped me. Well, how about I didn't go through anything hard this week and the Lord blessed me. I am so thankful. I had a rest. I didn't have a tragedy or anything happen. Can we expand your horizons about what you have to say? Expand and don't shrink from your responsibilities. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh what? Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Increase in the body. We want to see the body increased. Do you know that? I remember one of the first services that I went to the saints was a prayer meeting. Now, if they hadn't gotten up and been so excited about what God was and who he was and what he was doing, and if they all hadn't prayed these, you know, even if it was a short prayer, they prayed this prayer. And I felt the working of God while I was there. See, I wasn't talking. I wasn't praying. I was visiting. So all I did was listen. And because you're on your knees when they're praying, all you're doing is listening. And you're hearing how they're talking to God as if he's right there. And you're thinking, and you're maybe thinking, well, I've never talked to God like that. I didn't know you could talk to God like that. And they're asking all these different things and thanking. And then they get up and they're so enthusiastic about what God did and everything. We had a visitor here last Wednesday. I wonder what he went away with. What did he go away with? Were we as enthusiastic as we needed to be? Or did we shrink from our responsibilities? Or were we just tired? I just came to get myself filled. I don't have anything to give. I just needed help for myself. What did he get? What did that visitor get? I wonder. What was he? Did he have a stirring? Did something stir in his very being? Did something stir? Did he feel a conviction of some kind? Did he feel something? Or we were so boring. And I'm not saying that we work something up, but we need to be enthusiastic about God. If we aren't enthusiastic, listen, it starts at home. If we're not enthusiastic at home, we're not going to be enthusiastic here. You can't work it up. You know, if you're not enthusiastic, you know, when you meet people in the store and you don't tell them about God and all these things, and when they say, how are you today? And you can't say, oh, I'm doing really well. The Lord blesses me every day. I mean, do we give enthusiasm or would we say, oh, I'm well, thank the Lord. A lot of people say that. Can you be more specific? Can you be more enthusiastic? You know, can we minister to people right where they are? Can we show some enthusiasm? Can we be a face that they remember in the crowd? So the next time we're in that store, they remember us. They will. If you're enthusiastic about something, you know, they remember the person that comes in there and makes a fuss and complains. They remember that face. Well, they're going to remember yours. I have the people when I go and get a cart at the store, sometimes you have to sit there for a few minutes or something before you can get a cart and everything. And so you kind of get a chance to kind of talk to the person that's there or whatever. So now those people, they know me. They say, oh, you need a cart today? They already know, you know. So the point is, are you enthusiastic? Do you show them something? Do you have something to give? Don't shrink from your responsibilities. You have to represent God everywhere you're at, from the grocery store to the gas station to your work, your family. You have to show it everywhere. You have to getting in line at the grocery store and letting people go before you. Those kind of things, giving them the best parking places, you know, all those kind of things, good things that we can do for others to bless their day. We can't shrink from our responsibilities. In 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 14, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Well, I haven't laid my hands on all of you to send you out to go do something, but God has. He's laid his hands on you. He has anointed you. He has filled you with his spirit. And he expects you to give attendance to reading and to doctrine. You know, in other words, to know and to understand what's in the Bible and what we teach and how we teach. And exhortation, in other words, that we give attendance. We pay attention to exhort to people, to take opportunities. Every place that there's an opportunity dropped in us. And it's so easy because the world is full of this polite talk that says, how are you today? You can say things all day long when you come into contact because they are taught to do that. They are taught to engage with you. The young man that you know carries your groceries to the car, they are taught to engage you in conversation and to ask you how you're doing and this and that. And so you have so many minutes that you have his full attention all the way to the car before he gets away from you. Are you shirking your responsibilities? You know, are you, when the person they're ringing up your groceries and they say that thing, you know, how are you today? Do you tell them more than just, oh, I'm good, thank the Lord? Do you tell them a little bit more? Do you have a little bit more? Something wonderful to say? You know, God is really blessing me today. God blesses my life every day. Thank the Lord. I mean, we have to have an inward thankfulness and an inward inspiration of thankfulness so that we can share it with everyone else. We can't shirk, but it says here, it says, neglect not the gift. Neglect. That means there is the possibility to neglect it. Whatever God has given you, there's a possibility that you can neglect it. You can't do that. You know, we have relatives that come over to our house, and no, we don't always get to say exactly what we want to. We don't always get to tell exactly what we would like to say in those intimate conversations that you think about sometimes that you'd like to have, but you have something. How about just being shown them just how happy and blessed you are in the Lord? Instead of talking about the bad things of the, you know, what's going on in politics and what's going on with the war and all these things, you know, can you open up and can you say to them, you know, I pray about that every day. God is the only one that can do something about this. He's the only one that can bring peace. Any peace we have here on this earth comes from, I mean, there's no place you can go with the conversation that will include God. You just have to stay in the political realm. No, we need to bring it all back to God because God is looking out over all of this. So even when we're stuck in those kinds of conversations, we can bring God into it over and over and over we can. And if nothing else, it may make them stop. You know what I'm saying? Because if they don't want to hear about God, then they're going to stop that conversation. That's not getting anywhere. That's not getting the reaction I want. I want you to be in agreement with me. And I want you to say, yes, we need to do so-and-so. And we need to, no, we need to pray. God's the only one that knows how to help this and how to, you know, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. So we can't neglect. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, we'll go there. There's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. We're all going to do it differently. We have a tendency to look at someone else and say, they do it so well. And I don't do it good at all. I can't do it good. I'm not smart enough to do it good. I don't know enough big words. I stumble over my words. I say too many phrases, repeating phrases. You all know what I mean. When you're talking with somebody, there are some phrases that people say, you know. If you hear yourself on tape, you will find out some things that you say like that. And you'll go, oh, Lord, I didn't know I did that all the time. You know what I'm saying? So we get, see, you know what I'm saying? We get to a place to where we don't want to speak because of our infirmities. We can't worry about that. We can't worry about that. We're all going to do it different. All the preachers preach different. All the teachers teach different. Everybody has their way of going forth and doing what God wants them to do. The seventh verse, 7-11 now. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to the another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Did you know that this, everybody doesn't have the word of wisdom? Do you understand?
Right.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to have the word of wisdom to speak. There are special giftings that God gives where somebody can have the word of wisdom that can come in and help settle a conflict and can help settle a something that is going on. There's the word of wisdom and then the word of knowledge. I don't claim to be a Bible scholar. So there are many times that I can't give you scripture and verse of where anything is. You call and ask me about something, I'm liable to say, I'm going to get back to you with that because I'm going to have to look it up because I may not know exactly where it is. I may not know how to quote it. There are so many times that I have tried to use my one Bible program that I, you know, when you have to type in the words in a verse, I didn't realize I did not know verses like I thought I did. Because I can type in those words that I think are a verse and it says, can I be found? And I find out there's one word that is different that I wasn't thinking about. So now I try to do it with just one word because I know this word is there. This word is there. I can get it through here. But we don't all have all knowledge and all knowing and all. This is a growing way. And every person that deals with the word and it preaches or studies or is a teacher, they will tell you they do not have all the answers. They will tell you, how did they find that out? Because the more they studied, the more they learned. They knew they didn't have all the answers before. So these are things that are in the body that need to be used. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Do you know there's special gifts of faith? People that have special faith and that they have the ability to inspire other people's faith. Do you think they do it because they come up and they say, be inspired with faith? No. Do you think it's because, oh, look at my life and what God has done for me, and that's the inspiration? No. The inspiration is that they have a special gifting of faith that causes them to be able to reach out to the Lord in situations and grab a hold of faith for the answering of prayer and for somebody, the burden that they're in and for the sickness they're in. And they have that special, and you may not even know their name because they may exercise it in prayer. That special faith they have may be exercised in prayer. You may not ever know that they have that gift of faith. It says gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You may not ever know who has gifts of healing either. Because a lot of times when we're praying for people and all, there's several ministers putting their hands on. several ministers praying. Gifts of healing could be manifested at home through prayer. To be able to get a hold of God and have, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be something where you touch people. God gets to use these giftings that he has given you in any way he wants to. The thing is, we are not supposed to shrink. We don't shrink from these things. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Being able to understand what kind of spirit is working here. A lot of times when we pray for people, Lord, rebuke the spirit of so-and-so. The spirit of discouragement, the spirit of disillusionment, anything that so to speak comes to our mind as we're praying, discerning of spirit, being able to understand how the devil is working in a situation and what he is causing and what kind of spirits are working here so that you can rebuke them. Not everybody has it. We all have some discernment, but not everybody has the gift to discern those spirits. I've seen that gift work, and I've watched people come to them, explain their problems to them, and that person be able to tell them what kind of spirit is working here and lurking in the background, and you need to pray against this spirit because they have discernment of spirit. And then it says diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Diverse kinds of tongues, that means diverse languages and interpretation of languages. We're not talking about unknown language. We're talking about actual languages. I watched over the last meeting they had in Austria, and I was watching on Zoom. They had Zoom going there. And as I watched when I was here, and as I watched one of our brothers from here in the United States get up and lead the songs in German. You know, he's been studying. A lot of them have been studying because some of them have intermarried with some of the German-speaking people from there. And so they've been learning. They've had an interest to learn German. And so he was leading the songs in German. And it was so wonderful to see. You know, I can't even, when they put a songbook in front of me, I can't even read it in German, looking at the words. You know, they don't make sense to me. But a gift, you have a gift to learn some things, you should learn it. Going down to the 18th verse. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. This is God's work. This is how he pleased it. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. It's not just one person in charge and all. The only one in charge is the Lord. He's the one in charge. And he sets the members where he wants them. And there are many members, but it's still just one body. One of us is not more important than the other. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Everybody says, oh, you got to have your eyes. You know, got to have your ears, got to have your head. Nobody, you know, but I want, well, you can lose an arm. People can go on without an arm. They can go on without legs. They can keep going, but they won't do it very well, will they? That's what it's like when we sit down in our services, when we do not go out, when we go into the store and we do not exercise the part of the body, the whole body suffers because of it. The whole body does. We cannot shirk these responsibilities that God has put upon us. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, unto those we bestow more abundant honor, our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, For our comely parts have no need, but the body, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part, part which lacked. Oh, there are things that are done behind the scenes. There's cleaning of the chapel. There is the cleaning of the chapel. There is the like in a camp meeting, the cooking, the cleaning up afterwards, the planning of it ahead of time. There's all manner of things. There's those that come and open up the gates. There's those that come early and make sure the air conditioner's on or the heater's on so that when we come in, we're comfortable. Did any of us ever feel like that should be our job? That should be my job. When Sister Dolores came among us, it's her job with the water. She's everywhere with water. You know what I'm saying? She has taken a job and she's everywhere. You're not going to be missing water. Sister Dolores is going to make sure you have water. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't look like much, but the person that needs the water, it means a lot. And to be like standing in the pulpit and then look down underneath there and there's no water. It's what is your job? What are you supposed to be doing? What are you shirking? Some it's to give. There are some that the Lord wants them to give more. The Lord may require them to give more than he's telling somebody else to give in the congregation, because that's going to be their gift. Their gift is going to be to give to the saints, to help with this expenses, to always help and make sure there's money for this, and to always, you know, give to the building funds, and to always do this and always do with money, because the Lord has blessed them to be able to have money. And the Lord may gift them like that. Now, wouldn't it be awful if they had it, and they had the gift to be able to do this, but they shirked their responsibility. They just shirked it. And I don't have to worry about it this week. I'll give it next week, or, you know, I'll wait until this or this or this happens and then I'll give. Whatever it is that God has gifted us with, everyone here needs to know what you're gifted with for the body. And you need to work in that area. You need to do that, whatever you're gifted with. I remember when Sister Juanita started coming up praying for the sick. When I first got here, I don't remember her that she had come up and prayed for the sick, but evident at one point or another, and she didn't talk to me about it. You know what I'm saying? God gave her a burden. God gave her a gift. God gave her that. I didn't clear it. I didn't say, oh, you this or you that, or you should do this or you should do that. I didn't do that. God told her. And she's probably struggled with it. Listen, all of us, I want you all to know that when God gifts you with something, you're going to struggle with your own personal life while you have a gift. You are not perfected yet. You know what I'm saying? You are not in a place to where you will not make a mistake. You are not in a place where you will never be discouraged. You are not in a place where you will find yourself short. But when you have a gift, you have to exercise in that regardless of what's going on in your personal life. Now, I'm not talking about sin, and I'm not talking about you giving up and falling off and going back to things of the world. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the things that we learn about ourselves from week to week. They don't feel good sometimes. And they do feel, it's very heavy on us. And we feel, oh, Lord. And here I was just talking about this last week. I was just talking to this last week, or I just had, this was just in a message, or this was just in a Bible study that we had. And here I am finding myself in this place. And surely I just need to sit down. I just need to be quiet. Do you know the devil's going to try to keep every one of us quiet? Do you know that's why you don't testify on Wednesday night? The devil's keeping you quiet. He wants to rob you and the body. The reason you don't pray, do you know that there's no such thing as a gifting of prayer? There can be a gifting of powerful prayer, in other words, effectual prayer, but there's no such thing as a gift of prayer. We're all supposed to pray, and we all do it. We do it at home. There's whatever kind of prayer you pray at home that brings answers and blesses you and helps you at home will help everybody here. You see, it's the same. If it brings answers at home, it will bring answers here. It will, if it blesses you at home, it will bless you here. Now, there's sometimes you have to struggle through prayer at home. Is that right? That it just seems like you can't hardly get inspiration, and you're praying and your mind goes here and you're praying, the mind goes there, and it just interrupts, and you just feel like you can't get into it. Do you know there's going to be times that that's going to be like that here at prayer meeting too? And you know what you do? You struggle through it just like you do at home. Do you think somebody's going to care? I'm not going to care. I don't know, but I don't know anybody in here that's going to care if you struggle through your prayer, or if you repeat yourself, or if you lose your words, or, I mean, I've heard, I don't know how many I have heard over the last even few months that they're praying and they misspeak. They say something, you know, and they say, I'm sorry. Who are they saying sorry to? It isn't God. They're saying sorry to all of us. You see what I'm saying? It's so prevalent in our mind that other people are listening that we actually will say, I'm sorry, in the middle of our prayer. Do you see what I'm saying? It is not about us. It is about edifying the body. At home, you wouldn't say sorry. You would just go on. You know, you would just go on. I am really bothered by the, you know, thing. I shouldn't have said that this morning because it has bothered me all through this message. So pray for me. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, help me. Maybe you had never even noticed it, but I noticed it. So let me see, where was I? In 1 Corinthians 12:25, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We have to have the same care one for another. Just like you want everybody to hear you and pray for you, that you have to have the same care for them. You have to have the same care. And there can't be any divisions here. There can't be any divisions here. We're told in the Bible that if we're divided against ourselves, we're going to fall. And there have been many, many churches that have fallen down through the years because they were all divided against themselves. They had oughts here and oughts there, and they didn't take care of them. Or people tried to take care of them, but the people wouldn't accept it. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that it can happen. And 26, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Listen. Sometimes somebody's suffering in the night. They may send out a text for prayer, or they may call. It is so easy to be so sleepy that you don't. Now, they're not sleeping, are they? They are not sleeping. And we need to have as if it was us. And we need to spend that time praying and not just say a quick prayer so that we can go back to sleep, but say, really suffer with them. Suffer what? Suffer the cold of getting out of your bed. Suffer if you have to walk and pray to stay awake, to pray and to really pray, then walk. Suffer the inconvenience. Suffer the fact that you're going to be tired when you wake up in the morning, because that's what they're going to be. If they don't get any sleep, they're going to be tired. Can we suffer with each other? This, all of us have giftings. You should know where your gifting is in the body. God wants to use you some kind of a way. It may not be anything that anybody else sees, but it's something he knows and it's something he sees. It's something that he wants you to be diligent in, something that he wants you to really think about and do and be aware of and be involved in. In the 29th verse, it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. When it says covet earnestly the best gifts here, it's not for you to decide what are the best gifts and for you to covet them. What it means is, covet that we have the gifts. Covet that we have the gifts. Pray about it. Be concerned about it. Lord, grant in our congregation here that we can have the gift, this gift working and that gift working. And Lord, grant that the church as a whole, that this gift will be working and that gift will be working. Covet the gifts. Covet the ones that are so needful. They're all needful. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given them. They're all needful. So it's not up to us to divide it all up and say, well, this is the most important, so we pray for this one, and then this is better, and then and the other ones just kind of fall. No. We are to covet from the Lord that he would send giftings upon us. And we are to covet for ourselves. Lord, send giftings on me that you see that I can do. Anything you want me to do, Lord, any gift you want to bestow, if you just want me to be a prayer warrior, if you just want me to do this, if you want me to preach, if you want me to teach Sunday school, if you want me, you know, there are some people here in the congregation, I have to tell you, they do all of it and more. They do lots of jobs, but they say, like in the world, they wear many hats. It would be better if it was distributed. If it was distributed throughout the congregation, that more people would consecrate. You know, it says, present your body. That's a consecration. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. I was not a public speaker. I'm still not a public speaker. The Lord does this. Because as you've noticed at the end, I usually run out of things because the Lord stops. I have nothing left to say. And I'm quiet because I have nothing. I'm not one of those people that can just carry on this conversation and say all these wonderful things that kind of end and flow to a delicate ending of some kind. I don't have it. It's not mine. All I can do is, but I consecrated to open my mouth. I open my mouth and the Lord fills it. And when he's done, I shut my mouth. And that's all I can do. There's many times I sit down and I think, oh, I should have said this. I should have said, you know, as an ending, you know, those that are here, you know, there's altars are open, or, you know how lots of ministers say all these things. I say it all the time. I don't have it. I don't have that thing. And so there's many times that I sit down and I think, oh, but I just have to be what I am. And I have to, so then what am I depending on? I'm depending on you other gifts working. Amen. The Lord sits me down. He just shuts my mouth and I sit down. And then he's depending on the rest of you to stand up and say, and Sister Mary's done it. Brother Parrish has done it. The altars are open and anybody that wants to, you know what I'm saying? Amen. We all can do this. You can have something to say, or maybe something really touched you in the message, and you can add an exhortation to it that will touch that one, makes that one last mark on the person's conscience that causes them to go to the altar. We all have a part. We all have a part.
Amen.
And we have to let it, we have to let these things. We're not all ministers. We're not all teachers. But the ministers and the teachers depend on the congregation to do more, do something more. Brother Parrish, if none of us talked down here, Brother Parrish should be up there stumbling around trying to fill up all the space. You know what I'm saying? He would do that. But we fill the space. We talk. We say our thoughts. We add to it. And then everybody is blessed. Because many times, when we talk about, oh, I was so blessed by the Sunday school thing today. It's not about what Brother Perry said. It's about what somebody added out here is what they remember. That's how important we all are. Because that's what they remember. All right. And the last scripture is 1 Peter 4:10-11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, minister the same one to another. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. So why do we minister, and why do we do all these things, and why do we let these giftings flow, and why do we pay attention to these things? To glorify God. It's all about glorifying God. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about you glorifying God, coming here on Wednesday night and praying and worshiping him, asking for God to intervene on people's behalf. It's about you telling how great God is, how great his word is on Wednesday night. It's about you sharing the things that God does personally. But if you don't have something personal that you want to talk about, then talk about God. Testify for him. Testify for him and what he can do and what he has done. You'll be surprised. Things will start coming to your mind. You open up your mouth and start testifying for the Lord, and things are going to come. You're going to remember some things. You're going to be saying them out. Amen.
Number 235, same sheet. Mentions are not easy, but thankfully we have the Lord who will help us. And think about how he helps us. Lord Jesus, my blessed redeemer.